Last Wednesday, I shared a message with you called A Servant of Jesus, and that is what we are. We're followers of Jesus, so we got to be servants of Jesus. Well, tonight's message is a servant to others. So which is it? Well, it's both, because if you are a servant of Jesus, you will always serve others, because that is what our Lord wants us to do. He's our example. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve, and he calls us to serve. If we're following Jesus, I want to tell you, we'll serve others. So we're going to go to John chapter 13. In this passage, Jesus models for us what it looks like to serve others. John 13, we're going to work our way through this passage, beginning from verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. This is his last supper with the disciples. He knows that his time here on earth is finished. It's time for him to go. Verse 2, and supper being ended, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. See, it's time. Judas has already planned to betray him. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, Jesus knew who his Father was, and he knew that his Father had given all things into his hands. He knew that he had all the power and all the authority. He knew where he had come from, and he knew where he was going. He knew what belonged to him. He knew what he was entitled to. But look what happens next. Verse 4. Rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. Laid aside his garments. He was a rabbi, and as a rabbi, he wore a special robe that symbolized his authority and his position as a rabbi, but he lays that aside. He stands up from the meal, and you can just imagine that all the eyes go to Jesus as he stands up and he takes off his outer robe, and then he ties a towel around his waist. And in just a moment, he's gone from being rabbi to being a servant. Just by removing that robe of the rabbi and putting a towel around his waist, now he's made himself a servant. He didn't just lay down the authority and the position of a rabbi. He also laid down the authority and the position of the Son of God. He laid it all down, and he became a servant. Verse 5, after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. He humbled himself to serve his disciples by doing what was considered to be the lowest of tasks, the lowest job that you could have, to wash the dirty feet of others. You got to remember, their feet weren't like ours. We got nice shoes. They walked in sandals where their feet became covered with dirt or caked in mud. And so washing feet was a necessary job when you went into someone's home. It was customary that somebody would wash their feet. And Jesus takes this task upon himself. Now, here it happens that, you know, nobody else wanted the job. I mean, think about this. any of the disciples could have said, I'm going to wash everybody's feet. Or at least, hey, I'm going to wash Jesus' feet. He's the Son of God. I've seen the miracles. I've seen the dead raised. I've seen the storm calmed. But nobody did. Nobody wanted to do this job. And as I said, it was customary when you came in for a meal, somebody was supposed to wash the feet. A servant. You pay somebody if necessary. Jesus could have paid somebody. I got to tell you, there's a whole lot of that in the church world today. Let's pay somebody to do everything. It's really popular. Hey, I'll come and I'll put an offering in. I just don't want to do anything. And I got to tell you that, listen, don't misunderstand me. I'm glad that some churches are reaching a lot of people. But what happens a lot of the time in a mega church is that everybody's paid to do everything. And I just want to tell you, that's not the way it's supposed to be, says the guy that's paid. Right? But that's not the way it's supposed to be, because all of us need to serve. All of us need to be a part of serving, not just coming and receiving, but all of us need to have that opportunity to serve. And Jesus is our example. He washes feet, even the feet of Judas, who has already planned to betray him. In verse 6, it says, then he came to Simon Peter. Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. I get that. I mean, Peter didn't want the hands that healed, the hands that multiplied bread, the hands that set captives free. He didn't want those hands to touch his dirty feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter says, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you're not all clean. We all know we need the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. And we need the washing of the water of the word to clean up our lives, to sanctify us. But Jesus makes this reference to Judas because he knew there was one that was not clean. So verse 12, so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? And evidently no one answered, not even Peter. One of the few times that he didn't have something to say. Here's what he did. He served them. Verse 13. You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. He's saying, you should call me teacher. You should call me Lord. That's who I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I don't want anybody to misunderstand tonight. Jesus was not starting an ordinance for the church that we're all going to have foot washings. And I just want you to, well, let me put it, say this first. I got to clarify. I know that some people have been blessed by that. I've seen that, and I've been a part of that before many years ago. And if that blessed you, praise the Lord, I'm glad. But Jesus was not laying out a teaching for us to all do foot washings. Washing feet today is nothing like what they did. And I just want you to understand, you see, this was something that he did to teach us to serve. This was the lowest task. If I, your teacher and your Lord, have done this to you, then you need to do it for one another. I think sometimes, it would be really be nice and simple if we could just have a foot washing once in a while, and that would be the extent of our serving. That would alleviate this issue. But that's not what he's talking about, and that becomes clear in the rest of Scripture. But he was teaching us to serve one another, and he tells us to follow his example. Verse 15, he says, "For I have given you an example that you should do this as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him." He's our example. He's our master. We can't possibly think that we are too good. To do even the lowest of tasks, to serve others. I like it that every man that's on staff at this church, when they first started working at a church, including myself, part of their job was to clean the church, and that includes the toilets, y'all. Yeah. And I like that, because if you can't come with a servant's heart, you don't need to be doing anything. I really believe that. And I believe that's the example of our Lord. But all of us are called to serve. And here's the amazing thing in verse 17. Jesus says, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Not just if you know them, you know, not just if you teach it on a Wednesday night, not just if we talk about it. Blessed are you if you do them. You're blessed. We got to talk about this word blessed for just a minute, because there are a lot of people and even some translations that just want to say, "Oh no, we don't need that word. That's an old word." Happy is the same thing. It so is not. I'll just show it to you very plain and simple. What is the opposite of happy? Sad. Does anybody know what the opposite, I'm talking about in Scripture, what is the opposite of blessed? Cursed. That's right. You see it over and over and over. Happy is not the same thing as blessed. Happy is a good thing. That's really nice. But blessed is something that God does to you. And that is something wonderful and something powerful. And yeah, I think a lot of the times it includes happy. But it's so much more. Go so far beyond that. And Jesus says, blessed are you when you do this. Do what? Serve. You're blessed beyond happy. I'll tell you what's not fun. When you're made to do stuff, ask your kid. They'll tell you, it's no fun when you make me do stuff. And it's just no fun. It's different when you choose to serve. I want to tell you, when you choose to serve, there's a joy in serving. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes you can be serving others and they can be rude or even mean to you or hurt you. But I'll tell you that God will make that up to you. He's the one that blesses. But there's a joy that comes when you serve willingly, not because you have to, but because you choose to serve your Lord. You know, in the culture of the kingdom, in that early church, they took great joy in serving others. And it was such a stark contrast to the culture around them. And, you know, the Romans had conquered them. And in that Roman Empire, it was all about authority and power. That you could make other people do things. Reminds me a little bit of a culture we live in today. Where it's all about who's got the authority, who's got the power. And those Roman soldiers could command somebody, anybody. They could say, "You, carry my pack." And you had to carry it for a mile. That's no fun. Jesus has an answer for that. Carry it too. Now you're not doing it because you're forced to. You're doing it because you chose to. You're doing it because you're a follower of Jesus and a servant of Jesus. And so you choose to serve others. I can just imagine what a Roman soldier thought about that. These people are weird. I'll tell you, you carrying that, going that second mile, don't you know they had a great opportunity to talk to them about the Lord? Our Lord told us to do this. I'm just telling you, when we serve the Lord, it takes that drudgery out of serving, out of just doing something. There's a joy that's there when we do it because of Jesus. This just needs to be the way we operate, that we're not looking to be served, but we're looking to serve others. You can't only serve people that deserve it. Look what Jesus did. He washed the feet of the one that would betray him. He washed the feet of the one that would deny him. And he washed the feet of the other 10 that all ran away and left him all alone. He washed their feet, even though he knew what was about to happen. We live in this world where people want to know what's in it for me. And I want to tell you, we need to ask instead, how can I be used of the Lord to serve somebody else? You know, one of the most powerful things that we can do to see real change in our lives or in our family, in our church, in the workplace, and in the community is to find ways to serve others. Let me just clarify here. We're not talking about what you're paid to do. We're not talking about your normal responsibilities. We're talking about you going out of your way to serve others. I can assure you, Jesus was not paid. It was not his responsibility. He chose to serve. And that's what he says. He said, "I've given you an example. And you're blessed if you do this." Galatians 5:13 in the NIV, it says this: "You, my brothers, were called to be free." Oh, we like that part. Amen. We're free. Now, I want to tell you, people use that all the time when they want to. "But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." See, there will always be those that just do what they want to do. It's, you know, I'm free. It's my time. It's my money. It's my life. I do what I want. And to a lot of people, that's what freedom means. I do what I want. But the scripture says we're free to serve. We're free so that we can choose to do for others. We can choose to be a blessing to others. Don't miss this. He says we serve one another in love. This is why. We don't serve for recognition. Now, I would have to say, when you serve and somebody recognizes it, that's nice. Right? That feels good. I mean, when you're serving and somebody recognizes that, boy, that just feels good. Puts a smile on your face. But you can't do it for recognition. If you do, you already have your reward. And here's how you can tell if you're doing it for recognition. Do you get upset when you don't get recognition? If you do, then you didn't do it for love. You did it for self, for pride. It got real quiet, Brother Jimmy. I don't know what that's about, but you don't do it for penance. I've known some people, you know, they wanted to pay for their sins, and I just got to tell you, you can't pay for your sins. Only Jesus can do that by his blood. You just got to put those sins under the blood of Jesus. So no, you don't serve to do penance. You don't serve to gain leverage. Have y'all heard of servant leadership? It's a thing even in the world. But they do it to gain leverage and manipulate. You don't serve others so that you can get an advantage of some kind. You serve others in love. And one of the things that to me as pastor makes this a great church is there's so many people that serve. I know there was 12 or 14 or 16 men that helped somebody move last Saturday. What a blessing just to serve in love and go over and help somebody that needed some help. And I know in this body there's a lot of that kind of thing that goes on where you help one another, serve one another that way. And you know, here at the church there's a lot of you that serve on a regular basis. Well, I've got to mention, there's a bunch of people serving in the youth department tonight. You know, that doesn't happen without a whole lot of serving, a whole lot of work going on. But there's a lot of people that serve in our children's ministry, serve as a prayer partner, serve as a greeter, serve in the sound booth or work in a camera. People that are our security. Every week, they're here making sure that everything's okay, that we're safe. There's so many ways that people serve in this church. And I'm so thankful. You know, there's people that serve by providing meals for those that are sick, and people that serve by being an intercessory prayer warrior. There's people that serve by being a growth group leader or sometimes being a host home. The list just goes on and on and on. And I'm just saying there's so many ways that many of you serve. And if you hadn't found your place yet, well, I just want to encourage you. We got a place for you to serve here at the church. Our worship team, they put in so many hours to serve us and lead us into the presence of God. And they don't promote themselves. They're here to serve. I want to tell you, though, the church is growing right now, and that's a wonderful thing. I'm thankful that the Lord is bringing in a harvest and there's many, many new people. What that means, though, is that we need more people to serve, right? So I want to challenge you to look for opportunities to serve, but not just here at the church. I want to challenge you to look for opportunities to serve in your daily life. Instead of, you know, let's don't be like the world where we just want to get out of doing any work as much as we can. We don't want to do anything. No, let's be the people that are ready to serve. And we don't mind stepping in and helping somebody, making a difference. I realize that some of you, especially moms, you serve all the time taking care of your house and your family, your kids. And I know that sometimes maybe that just alone can be overwhelming. But I still want to encourage you to look for an opportunity in some way to find something that's not your responsibility, that's not a normal part of your routine, and go out of your way to serve somebody. Might be in your home, or it might be for a friend or a neighbor, somebody else. Now, some of you, you know, at your work, you're basically serving people. But again, I want to challenge you and encourage you to find some way that you can serve others that's not a normal part of your job. I just want to encourage you. Do what Jesus is talking about here. And I want to remind you that he said this to the disciples, but it wasn't written down in Scripture for them. They heard it the first time. It was written for you and me. And we're blessed when we do this. Go beyond the ordinary or the expected. Something that's not your job or your responsibility. You know, this time that we live in, there's very few that are willing to go a second mile. Most don't want to do anything more than what's required. But if we're following Jesus, we got to follow his example. The disciples argued about who would be the greatest. James and John wanted to sit on Jesus' right hand and his left when he set up his kingdom. And I want to read to you from Mark 10, 42 through 45. Jesus called them to himself and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever desires to be first shall be slave of all." Wow. "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." And that last verse reminds me of something else I want to share with you. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. In the original text in the Greek, the same word that's translated as serve here can also be translated as minister. And I just want you to understand that when you serve, you're ministering to other people. Jesus tells us plainly, he didn't come to be served. He didn't come for prestige or power or possessions or position. Oh, he's not at all like the leaders of this world. He came to serve. He had all authority and all power, and yet he served. He says, those in this world in authority lord it over those under them. But he doesn't want us to be that way. He wants us to be servants. Yes. In this generation, it's all about my rights, what I'm entitled to, what I want. But when we follow Jesus' example, it's so different. We serve others. And I just want you to understand that what I'm talking about tonight can be so powerful in opening doors for ministry. opening doors to people's hearts and seeing lives change. Paul understood this. The Apostle Paul, he laid down his pride. He laid down his demands. He laid down his own selfish ambitions. He laid down his rights and even his needs in order to serve others. In 1 Corinthians 9:19, he says, "For though I am free from all men..." Now, this actually meant something to the people of this day, because there were a lot of people that weren't free. There were a lot of people that were slaves to other people. And he says, "I'm free from all men. I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more." I've made myself a servant to all. See, this is opposite of our culture. "I've made myself a servant to all so that I might win some." This is a way that the world can see that we really are true followers of Jesus. We want to reach people. What we need is a bigger bullhorn. What we need is more TV time. What we need is to serve. That's the way the Apostle Paul did it. "I'm free from all men. I've made myself a servant to all that I might win the more." What we need is we need to get right up in their face and tell them. What we need is to make ourselves a servant. I know that doesn't appeal to the flesh, not one little bit. "I made myself a servant and all that I might win the more." Well, let's just think about this. Nobody has been more effective than the Apostle Paul at winning the more. He went from town to town, and almost every town where he went, when he left, there was a church where there was nothing before. And now there's a body of believers in that city. Why? Because he made himself the servant to all. It's powerful. And if we can lay aside our pride and our demands, things that we selfishly want, and just serve people, I want to tell you, people will be so much more receptive when we talk to them about the Lord or invite them to church. You know, some people, they're worried about doing something at their job that's not their job. It's a thing. We don't allow that here. I'm just saying. When you have the heart to serve and your boss says, "I need you to do this," and you know it's not your job, it's not your responsibility, but you say, "You know what? I'll take care of that, and I'm going to take care of this too." 6 months from now, when you invite your boss to come to church on Resurrection Sunday, he's a whole lot more likely to come. What about a church where everyone is looking for an opportunity to serve? That's powerful. Philippians 2, 3 through 11, Paul writes, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself." I don't write this part, y'all. Modern psychology says we're never to think of others as better than ourselves. I don't care. I believe the Bible. Amen. Think of others as better than yourself. This is what the scripture says. The philosophy of this world, we're supposed to have pride in ourselves. I want to tell you, there's never one instance in the scripture where pride is a good thing. Well, unless you're using some one of these new flaky paraphrases where they've actually used the word pride in a good way, but not in a real Bible. Y'all are too quiet, but I'm saying stuff anyway. Our goal is never to elevate ourselves, but it's to lift others up. Listen, he says, let each of you look not only on his own interest, but also on the interest of others. Everybody in this world we live in, they're looking out for number one. So concerned about their rights, their interest. What if we just obey the Lord and let the Lord take care of us? Because when you truly serve others, well, yeah. Sometimes there's going to be some skepticism. Sometimes people are going to think you got some kind of a selfish agenda, a hidden motive. We better make sure we don't. Our only motive is to share the love of Jesus. But there are some wonderful benefits to serving. Because I really do believe that people that serve have a joy. In fact, they're happy people. They find fulfillment in life. People that are always exalting themselves and pushing others down. Have you ever noticed how miserable and frustrated they are? Albert Schweitzer, who won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1952, he said, I don't know what your destiny will be, but one thing I know, the only ones among you who will be really happy are those who have sought out and found how to serve. And Jesus said he came that we might have an abundant life, and I really believe that part of that abundant life comes as we serve others in love. I want to keep going on in this passage in Philippians 2. Then he says, next, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This mind, another translation says, this attitude, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. No prestige, no power, no worldly power. He certainly had power, but he didn't seek the power or the prestige of man. He took on himself the form of a servant. This was his attitude. He humbled himself. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You see, there's the turnaround. He humbled himself as a servant, even to the point of death. And God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. And did you know that when we humble ourselves and we serve others, God's going to take care of you. He's going to see to it. Jesus said in Matthew 23:11-12, he who is the greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Exalt ourselves and we get humbled. Humble ourselves and he exalts us. Our job is to humble ourselves. If we don't do our job, God will. But if we'll do our job and humble ourselves, he will exalt us. That's what the scripture says over and over. If we really want to serve Jesus, we serve others. And I read this scripture not that long ago on a Sunday morning, but I just have to read it tonight. Matthew 25:34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Serve others. They're serving Jesus, especially when you do it to the least. Remember, Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. Be faithful to serve. I want to say one more time, look for opportunities to go out of your way to do something special, to serve someone else. I believe it'll put a smile on somebody's face, and I believe it'll put a smile on yours too. But if it puts a smile on Jesus' face, that's good enough. Amen. Serve others. Stand with me. We're going to pray.